Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. Now, here's your host, Jim Rome.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. Today on our broadcast, we have one of the great old storytellers. Oh, wait, some of you may call them testimonies. A great testimony teller. He could really tell the story, and I've enjoyed hearing this one often. I call it the old theologian story, and his name was Norval Hayes.
Oh, you read the Bible yourself. Tell me, just read the Bible yourself. You need to believe, but see, if you don't know the Bible, you can't believe it. We had a Southern Baptist theologian, a doctor, had been preaching the gospel 25 years. And I mean, he loved God with all of his heart. And everybody has a right to receive things from the Bible, receive things from heaven. But if you don't know it, you have to accept the Bible by faith. But if you don't know it's for you, you still can't receive it. You won't accept it on those bases. You won't accept the Bible on faith basis. And so he preached the gospel 25 years and got sick. I mean, just tucked sick. Got out and had to go to the hospital. And we went to the hospital. He had a few $1,000 saved and so forth. But you know, after he was in the hospital for a while, he had five doctors on his case. And one doctor came in one day and said, "Now, you've been in the hospital here. We know you're a theologian, a doctor of the cloth, and a man of the cloth." And said, "We believe that you can take reality. If you can't take reality, I don't know who can. You being a preacher and a theologian for 25 years. And he says, "Now, all five doctors have studied your case for about 6 weeks. You've been in here for about 6 weeks. We've been running laboratory tests on you. And I've been selected the one to come and tell you." He says, "Now, doctor, I'm going to tell you just like it is, because you being a man of the cloth and being a theologian, you ought to be able to take it." He says, "Now, you've lost about 40 pounds in this place." And says, "Now, we've run laboratory tests on you, and there is no hope for you. You're going to die, doctor. There is nothing connected with medical science that can help you. Nothing. I mean, we've had five good doctors on the case, studying every test in the laboratory. Food will not stay in your system. And we've had you on baby food just to keep you breathing. But doctor, you're not going to live. You're going to die. So you might as well make provisions now. And you're not going to live very long. 6 weeks would be the most that you'll ever live. 6 weeks from now, you'll be dead. Now, you could be dead in 2 weeks. But your body will not hold food. And you just keep on going down. And I mean, you've lost over 40 pounds in here, you know, in 6 weeks. And you lose 40 more pounds and you're a dead man. Because you're just skin and bones now." He said, "You just can't take it. And we can't do anything about it. We've tried everything that we know. And you might as well accept the fact you're going to die." He said, "Well, I don't have any money anyway. I've spent all my money for doctor bills now." He said, "Well, my mother lives by herself." He said, "I think I'll go back home and just die with mama." He said, "Where did she live?" He said, "Well, she lives several hundred miles from here." "Well," he said, "you can't make it. Forget that. You can't travel 700 miles. You'd probably die on the way. You're too weak. You're too frail now. You just can't stand changing climates and so forth." "Well," he said, "I might as well." He says, "Well, we'll see." So he called one of his brothers in his hospital room and says, "Now, you know, I've spent all my money on doctor bills." He says, "My mother," he said, "you know, mama, all of us kids are married and gone away." And he said, "She lives by herself on the old home place, on a farm, raised on a farm." He said, "I want to go back home and live with mama for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 weeks or something and die there on the old home place where I was raised." And he said, "I don't have any money." He says, "I spent it all on doctor bills. I had a few thousand when I checked in here, but I don't have anything now." And he said, "I'm asking you to go out and borrow the money to get me a ticket and maybe I could ride back. If you would borrow enough money to make me a bed on the train, a bed, and get me a car where I could have a bed." He said, "I believe I could make it and go back home. I don't want to stay here in this strange place, you know, just I don't know anybody around here. And I want to go back home with mama. I've been preaching the gospel for 25 years, and have been around Mama very much, just maybe once a year, once every 2 years, at homecomings and things like that. He says, and I want to go back there and die. You mean a preacher of the gospel was talking like that? That's right. Theologian, a doctor, and a good doctor, and a good theologian. I mean, I'm not talking about just an ordinary pastor. I'm talking about a man that would go in town, rent an auditorium, and the Pentecostals, and the Methodists, and the Presbyterians, and people like that would cooperate with him, because he had a clean, strong salvation message, and he had a good ministry, and he had such love in him that people just drawn to him. Just drawn to him. He was a James Robinson type fellow, you know, but maybe not quite as strong as James, but he was that type of fellow, preached a good, strong salvation message. And a Baptist fellow, just like James. Basically a good salvation preacher, real good. But been preaching the gospel 25 years, now he's come face to face with death and don't have anybody to help him. Don't even know anybody to help him. Don't even know anybody. So you live in one circle all your life, my brother and sister, and when it comes, you don't even know anybody. You better get you some friends that know something. You want to learn about God? Then find some friends and get you some friends and be buddies with them the rest of your life that knows God better than you do. And you'll get to know God better. As long as you fool around with friends that don't know God very well, you probably won't know Him very well either unless you find it out in church or teaching seminars like this. Unless people get you in the Word of God. And you don't know what God will do. He didn't know what God would do. Well, he knew that God could do anything if he wanted to, but that's a general type of believing. That don't work. You have to zero in on what you want and believe by faith right now. God promises you something, believe it now. You don't believe it next week or 10 minutes from now. You believe it now. And so he said, well, I don't know. I'm just a worker. He said, I'll have to go out and borrow it. But he says, I'll try to do it for you, though. And he went out and borrowed it. Came back with the money, and they fixed him a bed on the train, and they loaded him, and the doctor says, you'll die before you get home. He says, well, what's 2 or 3 weeks? So what? Might as well go to heaven now rather than go 2 or 3 weeks from now. I'm going to take the chance anyway. Fixed him a bed of pillows and put him down on the bed and put him on the train and sent him to his little small county seat town, and his old mother, about 80-some years old, 82 years old, I believe it was, 81, 82 years old, lived out in the country by herself. Well, she basically lived by herself, except that little place there for a boy to live. They'd hired a country boy, 19 years old, to take care of the chickens and the stock they had left on the farm and, you know, take care of the garden and so forth and just take care of the farm in general. It was all a 19-year-old country boy. And he was living there with his mother to take care of the farm that all the kids were raised on. So the train pulled into the county seat town, and the old mother had an ambulance there waiting on her son. Come home to die. Come home to die. Nobody to help him. Just come home to die. So the train pulled in and the ambulance, they brought him out of the train and put him on a stretcher and slid him into the ambulance and took off down out in the country to the old home place to die. Got there and the two guys in the ambulance, you know, got him out. She had a room fixed for him and they put him in bed. And the mother, 81 years old, I'm talking about he's so weak he can't do anything. You have to, you know, bedpan. Bring his food to him, you know, that type of thing, you know. Feed him in bed, not get up at the table, feed him in bed. And so she can't turn him in bed and bathe him very well, you know. And the 19-year-old boy became the doctor's nurse. Well, now listen. 19-year-old country boys are not good nurses, I can tell you that right now. Now, they're okay. They're okay on the farm, taking care of chickens, taking care of the stock, taking care of horses, taking care of cows. They're just fine with a plow. They're fine. But 19-year-old country boys are not good nurses. So after about 2 weeks of taking care of him, you know, he's wanting to be nice to him because he's a doctor and a theologian. After about 2 weeks of that, he just got fed up with it, I guess. I tell you, it's good to get fed up with what the devil's doing. And one day, I'm talking about one day, just boldly, right out of the clear blue skies, that 19-year-old country boy was in there, you know, fixed him and turned him in bed, you know, and fixed him, and he just backed up and said, Doctor, why don't you let God heal you? Well, Maybe you're sitting until this morning with a disease in your body. Let me ask you a question. Why don't you let God heal you? You come to the right place this morning. Instructions how to be healed. And the theologian said, well, the doctor said, what do you mean? He said, I mean the Bible says, is any sick among you? And God in heaven knows that covers your case. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil to pray the prayer of faith. And God says, I'll raise him up and heal him. He said, you mean that's in the Bible? He said, yes, it's in the Bible. The doctor said, get my Bible out of the trunk over there and read that to me. My Bible is in my trunk over there. Now, he's been there several days, and the Bible's still in the trunk. Don't get to thinking you know everything. You know, you don't know everything. The Bible works for people that put it to work for them. You'll never get too scriptural, you'll never get too knowledgeable spiritually that you'll think you don't need to read the Bible. Now, when my faith gets a little bit weak, if you say, well, does your faith ever get weak? Well, if I even detect my faith gets a little bit weaker, if I start entertaining things in my mind, that I'm trying to figure out things in my mind, you know what I do? I go back to Hebrews 11:1 and say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And when I come to the place where it says not seen, I just stand there and look at it with my eyes and quote that. Faith is not seen. Faith is not seen. I get through saying it a few dozen times. I don't require God to show me anything. I can get myself on a level just to believe God's word because it is written. And not demand some kind of spiritual feeling or not demand to have to go to some kind of a service. Just believe the Bible yourself. The number one way for you to be healed is through your own faith in God's word. Through your faith in God's word. Through faith. In God's word. And he says, you mean that's in the Bible? Get my Bible over and read it to me. And the old country boy says, well, doctor, he said, you know. He said, my daddy and mother had a lot of children. I got a whole herd of little brothers and sisters. You know, like a whole bunch. And I'm the oldest. And he said, I never did get to go to school. He said, I have to work all the money that y'all pay me here to take care of the farm. He said, I give it to my daddy. I give all of my money to my daddy to feed my little brothers and sisters. And he says, I never did get to go to school because I have to help my daddy work to take care of, to feed my little brothers and sisters. And he says, so I can't read. Now, just stop and think. Can you imagine a 19-year-old country boy that can't read teaching a theologian to believe the Bible? And he said, well, get my Bible over there. He says, turn it to me. He says, how do you know it's in there? He said, well, my pastor said it was in there, and I believe him. It works where I go to church. He said, well, get my Bible. And you know, the doctor said, he said, where's it found? That he said, it's found in James 5:14, James 5:15. You got your Bible? Turn there real quick. So you can know that this covers your case. Know that it covers your case. Now, I want you to see this. Oh, well, Brother Norville, I've read that before. Yeah, I know you've read it before, but I don't have anything to do this morning. All right, in James chapter 5, verse 14, God says, is any sick among you? Notice the question mark. God's asking a question through James. Asking who a question? Asking the church a question. The church. The Assembly of God Church, or any kind of a Pentecostal church, or the Baptist church, or Presbyterian church, the body of Christ, the church. God's asking the church a question. Is any sick among you? Just the church. You rise up and say, oh, well, yeah, we got some sick among us, you know. We got some sick among us. One of them is me. I'm sick myself. Well, God says, this is what you need to do then. Let him call for the elders of the church. Notice elders now. That means more than one. It's got an S on it. One put 1,000 to flight. Two put 10,000. Two agreeing, asking anything, believing, touching it, shall be done. Two or more. Two or more. elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. You got to have oil. That knocks the First Baptist out of the box. Well, we don't. Maybe you was raised in the First Methodist. You don't have any oil either, probably. Maybe you was raised in the Catholic. You don't have any oil either. Maybe I was raised as a Presbyterian. You don't have any oil either. I was raised as a Lutheran, Brother Noble. You probably don't have any oil either. So without oil, you can't fulfill this. Because it calls for oil right there. You can read. Because my ministry is real deep. You have to learn to read. It says oil right there. O-I-L. So no church could fulfill this if you don't have oil. Pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now that's the main ingredients there. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith in what? Faith in what you pray for and what you ask for. And the doctor said, you know what? I've been reading the Bible and preaching 25 years. I never did see that in there before like that. Is any sick among you? Now he said, doctor, that includes you. It says right there, is any sick among you? Don't it say that? He said, yeah, it says that. Does that include you? And he said, yeah, it includes me. I'm involved in any. He said, yeah, you're sick, all right. I've been taking care of you 2 weeks. He said, that includes you, and I know it includes you. He said, the doctor said, do they do this right here, what it says? Do they actually do this when you go to church? He said, yeah, they do it all the time. He said, where do you go to church? He said, well, we don't have a church. He said, out here in the country, we're poor. He said, we've started a church that does this. And he says, but we got a brush harbor up here now. We're going to build a church before long, though. We're raising money now to build a church. But up at the edge of the mountain, we just build a brush harbor. We go up there, you know, and just praise God and shout and pray for the sick. And he said, Jesus heals people up there. He said, he does. He said, oh, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, my pastor anoints people with oil, lays his hands on them and prays for them. He said, and Jesus heals them. He said, are you kidding me? He said, no, I'm not kidding you. He said, Jesus actually heals people in our church. I don't care what your building looks like, people. That's not what gets people healed. Your building doesn't cause God to manifest himself. It's by you believing the scriptures. He said, if you'll go with me, I'll take you to church with me Sunday morning. He said, well, I can't walk. I can't go. He said, I'll put you in my car. He said, I have an old car outside. I'll put you in my, I'll make you a bed in the back of the car, doctor, if you'll go with me. He said, well, I'll go if you can get me up there. So he put some pillows in the back of the car, reached down and got him Sunday morning, walking through the living room with carrying him out in the car. And the old Southern Baptist mother said, where are you going? Said, we're going to church. Said, oh, son, you can't go to church. You're fixing to die. That's what you call real faith in the house. Doctor said, you might not live over to, well, we're going to go to church anyway. I'm going to church, Mama. Be back in a little while. So they went to the church, put him in the back seat of the car. He couldn't get out, so he just laid there in the car, and he pulled it right up close to the brush harbor. And the theologian said, you know, the pastor came out in that brush harbor and began to preach. He said he preached a real good message. He just preached a real good message. And after he got through preaching, he got a bottle of oil in his hand. And said, now everybody's sick. I'm going to anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. So just hold up your hand. I'm going to come out there and anoint you with oil. He just goes through the brush harbor anointing people with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus and said, receive your healing by faith and receive your healing by faith. Receive your healing by faith. I anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord and pray the prayer of faith. Receive your healing by faith. Come out in the car and anoint the doctor with oil and receive your healing by faith. According to James 5:14-15, I anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith for you. Thank God he is healed. And just walked off, and the doctor said, come out and anoint me with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And the doctor said, I didn't feel nothing. Didn't feel a thing. What's feeling got to do with James 5:14 and James 5:15? Nothing. Nowhere in there is saying anything about you must feel something when God, when somebody anoints you with oil and prays the prayer of faith. You must feel something. Don't say anything about feeling. It says believe. Pray the prayer of faith. Believe that you receive. Right now, you don't feel anything. Don't see anything. He says, now, I read that. And he said, I knew enough about faith that faith was dead without action. He said, so I'm just going to act like I'm healed. He said, I got the message, and I remember that, and I preached the gospel 25 years, and I read that. He said, I got sense enough to know. I'm a Southern Baptist theologian. I got sense enough to know that God don't tell lies. And that fella actually anointed me with oil in a service and prayed the prayer of faith with me, and he did it in Jesus' name. He says, I'm going to accept that. And so, I mean, he just accepted it, went back home. They carried him back in bed, you know, hadn't felt a thing. Got back in bed, and he said, you know, I've been reading the Bible for 25 years and preaching for 25 years, and the Bible says that faith is dead without action. He said, so I got to put some action to my faith. He said, Mama, would you come in here, please? She came in there and says, what you want, son? He said, do you have any ham meat out in the smokehouse? She said, ham meat? She says, now, son, you know that I keep country hams hanging in the smokehouse all the time. He said, I want you to go out there and you still got that big black frying pan that you used to cook for us kids in all the time? Why, she said, still got the same one. I want you to go out there and cut some country ham off from big, thick slices. And I want you to cut some off and fry me some slices. And where you're fried, I want you to make some gravy, and I want you to make some hot biscuits, homemade biscuits for me, and fry me some eggs, country eggs. You know, I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I'm hungry myself. He said, I want you to make me some gravy. He says, Mama, I'm going to eat. She says, oh, no, son, that will kill you. He said, how could it kill me? He said, I'm healed. Well, his mother thought just like he did before that 19-year-old boy got a hold of his mind, got him to thinking different, and showed him James 5:14 before the scripture was ministered to him. He says, what do you mean you're healed? Do you feel any better? That's a First Baptist question they ever ask you. Do you feel any better? He said, not that I can tell. Well, what makes you think you're healed if you don't feel any better? He said, because that fellow obeyed James 5:14 and James 5:15 in my behalf, and I accepted it by faith because it's the Bible, so therefore I'm healed. Mama, now I want you to cook that for me right away because I'm going to eat, I tell you. She said, son, you can't eat that. It'll kill you. The doctor said you're going to die. And if you eat anything besides baby food, you'll die now. He said, you can't do that. He said, Mama, I want you to, I'm not going to die. I'm healed, I tell you. Do you feel any better? No. She said, I don't understand that. He says he's healed but don't feel any better. I don't understand that. If you'd been trained like that, you wouldn't understand that kind. And she says, well, she goes out in the kitchen and thanks her. And he says, well, you know, he likes that better than anything in the world. He likes country ham, hot biscuits, gravy and country eggs better than anything in the world. I believe that's his favorite meal. Well, you know, she said, the doctor said he's going to die in a few days anyway. If I fed that to him, it'd make him happy. He might as well die happy. So she goes out in the kitchen and gets it, fix it all, you know, and fries some ham and make him some biscuits and stuff and put it on the table. And they went and got him, carried him into the table. She says, carry me into the table. Fix a chair so I can sit up in pillows. He looked at that and said, the doctor says, now if you eat it, you'll die. He looks at it and says, according to James 5:14-15, thank God I am healed. My body is healed. My body is healed. My body is healed. My body is healed. According to James 5:14-15, my body is healed. And he cut it up, took a bite, chewed it up, and swallowed it. And looked at it again now. Listen to this closely. According to James 5:14-15, my body is healed. Eat some more. According to James 5:14-15, my body is healed. You have to mix the word, my brother and sister. Mix the word in your confession. Mix the word in your believing. Remind God of the scripture you're standing on. Remind him. Remind him. And so, he said, I sat there and ate all that. And it wasn't, and the next day I ate more. And the next day I ate more food. And the next day I ate more food. And he says to other people's utter amazement, I digested everything. And in about a week, I'd gained about 9 pounds in a week. He said, in 2 weeks, I'd gained about 15 pounds. In about 3 weeks, I'd gained about 25 pounds. And he said, I wrote a testimony of my healing. Sent it out, and began to call me to come and hold a meeting. Come and hold a meeting here, come and hold a meeting there. He said, I was packing my trunk one day, and that 19-year-old country boy walked in again. He says, Doctor, what are you doing? He says, I'm going to get ready to go to hold a meeting in the auditorium in Kansas City. And a lot of churches are going to cooperate. They thought I was dead, but they read my testimony, that little track I wrote. And he said, I'm telling you, I'm going to go hold a citywide meeting and all the churches are going to cooperate. He said, we're going to have a time, and now I'll preach that Jesus saves and I'll preach that Jesus heals people. He's packing the trunk, and that 19-year-old country boy raised up again and said, Doctor, before you go on that trip, y'all let Jesus baptize you in the Holy Ghost. You know what that Baptist doctor said to the theologian? He said, I don't even know what he's talking about. He said, well, I said, I'm saved. I'm already saved. He said, I'm not talking about being saved, doctor. He said, I'm talking about being baptized in the Holy Ghost and receiving power from on high. He said, you need more power? He said, oh, yeah, I need more power. I need all the power I can get. He says, well, let Jesus baptize you in the Holy Ghost. You'll get power from on high. The doctor says, I don't have no earthly idea what he was talking about. But he said, now listen to this. This will get you. He said, I was afraid not to believe him. He said, he brought me off the deathbed with his version of God. He said, I was afraid. Can you imagine a theologian afraid not to believe a boy can't read? He said, well, do they do that when you go to church? He said, oh, yeah. Come on, doctor, and I'll show you. He said, the doctor said, this time I walked out in my car. They didn't carry me. I walked out in my car because I'd been going fishing, been doing different things. You know, my body was totally healed, and my weight was coming back up on me. And I could digest food and everything. And I got totally healed and never did feel a thing when I got healed. Never did feel anything. Just stood boldly up on James 5, 14 and 15. He said, I walked out in that old car and rode up that bumpy field with him in that brush harbor. And he said, I wasn't ashamed. A lot of that pride was gone out of me. He said, I just got out of the car. I don't even know what he was talking about, but I trusted him. I just got out of the car and went down, knelt on my knees in the sawdust. And right at the altar, just got out of the car and boldly went down and said, Jesus, I don't know what this boy is talking about. He said, I could receive more power from you. I could receive power from you. So whatever he's talking about, oh God, he said, give it to me, Lord, give it to me. Give me more power from heaven, give it to me. And all of a sudden, you know how the Holy Spirit is. He began to just bubble up out of him, and sweet tongues began just to flow of you. And he said, now then I'll preach another message. I'll go now when I get to Kansas City and go across the country. And he says, I'll preach that Jesus saves like I've been doing for 25 years. And I'll preach that Jesus heals. And I'll preach that Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost and gives theologians power from heaven if you want it. Thank you.
Soul-stirring preachers, that's what we need. Peace talks, they are good, and talk of peace we should, but worthless with Jesus left out. To him let's bow our knees, for he's the Prince of Peace, and he's the worldwide need without a doubt. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred, in race and creed. Soul-stirring preachers, that's what we need.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
For he's the Prince of Peace, and he's the worldwide need without a doubt. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred, in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers, that's what we need.
So, until we meet again, God bless you.